A 3Q preview of the Minnesota Timberwolves, some Grizzlies news today in Grizzlies history, answering your questions, and a whole lot more. Busy show. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. I'm happy to be with you whenever you happen to be listening to this. That's the beauty of the podcast. You can listen to it whenever. I listen to podcasts. I was listening yesterday when I was taking a big old run, doing the dishes, cleaning up the house, all that stuff. I love to have podcasts on. So thank you for putting this one on, whatever it is that you happen to be doing. I appreciate that very much. I am assuming you are listening to this on a Tuesday because there's a lot to get to on this Tuesday. The Grizzlies will play later on this evening up in Minnesota. It's the home opener for Minnesota as they welcome in the Grizzlies to the Target Center for the second time in a couple weeks. Grizzlies actually were Minnesota's home preseason opener. Then the Timberwolves served as the Grizzlies' regular season opener. Now the Grizzlies returning the favor again in the regular season. So it's a weird mix. But it's the second time the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves will have played in the regular season. Of course, the Grizzlies snuck away with a 102-98 victory last Wednesday to open up the season. So we're going to talk about that one coming up. We're also going to give you, and we'll do the 3Q preview, just so you know, of the Minnesota Timberwolves game. Some interesting questions coming up. Got an audio version of a little numbers game. You know, I like to write the numbers game for the commercial appeal. And I'll have another one of those later on this week, by the way. But I'm going to give you a few numbers via the audio format. A few things that have cropped up in the first three games that are pretty interesting. We're going to talk about that coming up later on in the show. Going to give you a look at today in Grizzlies history as well. A very interesting day, almost a decade ago. We'll look at that coming up as well. So plenty to get to. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I'm going to answer one of your questions, too, later on in the pod. You can send me questions, comments, any of that good stuff. You could send that to me at Peter Edmiston. That is the easiest way to do it on Twitter. I am always available there. So at Peter Edmiston, just send that to me. But we'll talk more about that when the time comes. Let's start, though, with the news. Today for the Grizzlies was an off day. No practice today. Grizzlies are recovering from the exertions of that overtime victory over Washington. Of course, that was the second of a back-to-back, and the Grizzlies are in the midst of a four-game in five-night stretch. So as they flew up to Minnesota, that was the thing that you are concerned about going forward. How will this quick stretch of games affect Marc Gasol? What will we see from Mark tonight? How much time? He was on a quote-unquote minutes restriction yesterday, but that didn't seem to matter because that 20-minute restriction was blown right by David Fizdale to the tune of 29 minutes. Still didn't play a ton by standards that you might see in an overtime game, certainly by Dave Yeager standards or Lionel Hollins standards. But if you have a minutes restriction and he blew by it in that game, then perhaps the restriction is even more stringent later on in the game tonight. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, the injury situation still the same as before. Tony Allen is pretty close on the cusp of a return. I would say it could be imminent, not too far away for Tony. Chandler Parsons as well, not too far away, but not tonight, I wouldn't think, and probably not for another week or so. Brandon Wright, still a long-term absence. There'll be a number of different players listed on the injury report, but those are the primary guys that you need to think about. This would have been the day that we would have been talking about the possibility of Jordan Adams getting an extension. Today is the deadline day, according to the CBA, for rookies to work on their extensions prior to the season continuing. If the teams can't work out an extension, then, of course, you can make the player a restricted free agent and then do all your negotiations in the off season. And you know, it's favored heavily towards the team that drafted the player, keeping the player, but sometimes you can work out an extension before. It's what happened with Mike Conley on deadline day. And it happened with a few players around the league. to give you those updates. OKC was very busy. 2 4-year extensions, one worth around $84 million with Victor Oladipo, who they traded for this summer, and a 4-year $102 million or so contract with Steven Adams. I think both of those make a lot of sense from a cap perspective for OKC. And both of them are guys that they're going to try to build around for a long time. This puts Steven Adams especially up in that superstar class. But if you watch and see the way that he's been playing thus far, it seems like that's a spot where he deserves to be. That same contract, incidentally, for 102, is what Rudy Gobert is going to receive with the Utah Jazz, his extension. And it's good for these players to get that surety, but it's better for the teams, really, because then they don't have to worry about any kind of restricted free agency stuff. It just makes the cap situation so much clearer going into the offseason without any kind of confusion or anything like that. You know these guys, you're going to bring them back. There was never a doubt that Gobert and Adams and those guys were going to come back with their original teams, but this makes it a little bit more clear. Also, the Wolves, the opponent tonight for the Grizzlies, have a deal that they reached with Gorgui Dieng, who will remain in Minnesota to the tune of 4 years, $64 million. The Wolves apparently were also trying to get something done with Shabazz Muhammad, but no such luck for them. You don't need to have signed a rookie extension or not. Are you in Minneapolis right now? Are you planning on flying up to Minnesota for tonight's game? If you're listening in Memphis, chances are the answer is probably no. But you might be going to tomorrow night's game at FedEx Forum against the Pelicans. Do you need tickets? How about some of the best tickets out there? And how about getting them for a great price? SeatGeek. That is where you need to look. SeatGeek. Download the app. It's super easy. Right now, you're listening to this podcast probably on some device. So that same device, you can get the SeatGeek app. It's super easy. Go to your app store, wherever you happen to be listening to this, and you can get it. Download the free SeatGeek app, and you are set. You have the opportunity to look all around and find the very best ticket. Then you know it's going to be the best price that you can possibly pay for, because SeatGeek's done all the work for you. They cross-match all of the various big ticket buying sites that are out there, and they can tell you. They've got the algorithm that shows here is the best price. This particular ticket is a great price. That's a big green dot that you'll see. Their user interface is super easy, so you know exactly what you're getting. So you see a big green dot, boom, go for it, because you're getting a great deal on that ticket. If you see a red dot, then it's probably not a great deal, but maybe, you know, there are some events where you just really want to get in, and that's the only one you can get. At least you'll know. At least you'll know what you're dealing with. That's what SeatGeek can do. So here is how it works. Get the SeatGeek app, and here's what I want you to do. Enter the promo code LOGrizzlies. Enter the promo code LOGrizzlies. There's a menu in the SeatGeek app that'll ask you to enter a promo code. Enter LOGrizzlies, and here's why. You will be doing two things. One, you're going to save yourself $20 off your very first SeatGeek purchase. That is $20 in your pocket. Number two, you're helping this podcast out. And if you're listening and you like what you hear and you want to support the podcast, that's a great way to do it. Get the SeatGeek app. Remember, promo code LOGrizzlies. If you're flying to Minneapolis, you want those tickets, SeatGeek app is the way to go. You're sticking around in Memphis, you want those tickets for tomorrow night, SeatGeek app is the way to go. Whatever you're looking for, NBA, NFL, you name it, SeatGeek can do it for you. SeatGeek app, promo code LOGrizzly. Save yourself some money today. Oh, it is that time. Yes, indeed. The 3Q preview. For those that have not heard this before, we take three questions, take a look at them, try to answer them to help give you a preview of the upcoming Grizzlies game. Tonight's game is against those Minnesota Timberwolves. It seems like only yesterday. Seems like only yesterday we started. You know what? It wasn't yesterday, but it wasn't far off, less than a week ago. These two teams have seen enough of each other. So, you know, the questions, these are different sorts of questions, because things, while you've seen a lot of these teams, a few things have changed. Most notably, getting to question number one, The Wolves do not have Ricky Rubio for this game and will not have him for a while. He's got an elbow problem that means he is out indefinitely. So what do the Wolves do at the point guard position, and how do the Grizzlies take advantage of it? You are likely to see a great deal of Chris Dunn. And I don't think in the two games so far that the Wolves have played, one of which they played against the Grizzlies, Chris Dunn looks ready to be a starting point guard or anywhere close to it. But that's where the Wolves find themselves, and they're going to have to probably go with him. Tyus Jones is still on that roster, and I think he's been a problem at times for the Grizzlies last year. He certainly was. He will probably have to play a little bit too. The temptation may be for Tom Thibodeau to use Zach LaVine on the ball a lot more and slide him over to the point. But, boy, I don't think that's a very good use of his talent. I think we have seen now at this point that LaVine should be used almost exclusively off the ball. Very little on the ball. Maybe in the way that you see the Grizzlies sometimes, you know, a wing player will initiate the offense, but by no means is he a point guard. That's LaVine. He's not a point guard. He very has an O.J. Mayo kind of thing when he plays the point. It's not going to happen. So I think you'll see a lot of Chris Dunn and a little bit of Tyus Jones, but it should be an opportunity for the Grizzlies to really take advantage of that. Mike Conley should be salivating. Dunn's a big guy and is, in theory, a good defender, but he's a rookie, and rookies make mistakes. He's also not terribly quick, so that's an opportunity for Mike Conley to assert himself and to score in the way that he's going to need to for the Grizzlies to get the W. Question number two. Zach Randolph at the five. You're going to see a lot more of this, I would imagine, that Marc Gasol's probably not going to play all that many minutes, so you're going to see Zach at the five a fair bit. What can be done defensively when Zach is at the five? That is a question that's going to have to get answered quickly. Tonight would be an excellent night to start that, although some of the matchups and the bench matchups that Minnesota could throw out there might really exploit what Zach can do at the five. And when Karl Anthony Towns is out there, and if he's out there along with, let's say, Zach and one of the other young fours, whether it's Jarrell Martin or whether it's Jermichael Green or somebody else playing down a bit, that is a recipe for potential disaster. Let me tell you why. So far this year, in the three games the Grizzlies have played, when Zach Randolph is on the floor, the Grizzlies allow teams to shoot 63.3% from inside 10 feet. So when Zebo's on the floor, inside 10 feet, teams are making almost two-thirds of their shots. And let me tell you this. They get almost 55% of their looks from inside 10 feet. All these numbers, by the way, coming from my pal Evan over at NBA Wowie. If you haven't checked that out, you should do that. It's a great site. But Zach on the floor has been a defensive disaster. He's been an offensive marvel, don't get me wrong. And I think, when all's said and done, the value is still very much there. But he really, at this stage, is not even a passable defender on the interior. It just is not happening. So what can the Grizzlies do? I'll be curious to see what David Fizdale can do from a gimmick perspective to try to discourage teams from driving in and taking advantage of that soft interior when Zach is at the five. We talked a little bit about it yesterday on the pod. Sometimes, like, it feels as though the Grizzlies are encouraging teams to drive to the lane as if they had a big rim protector when they certainly do not. So that's the thing that you're going to kind of want to keep an eye on from the Grizzlies. What can be done defensively with Zach at the five? Because I think that's sustainable. To sustain Zach playing the five, you're going to have to find a way to improve that defensive mark. You're going to have to find a way to make that work. Tonight is a good way to see if there's any progress that's going to be made on that front, to see if there's anything that the Grizzlies can do. And question number three kind of dovetails alongside of that. What can the Grizzlies do to improve their interior defense in general? And can the rookies play a role on the outside in helping to discourage those drives? I think that that's one of the things that Wade Baldwin can do out there, and particularly if he has to come in and play quite a bit against guys like Chris Dunn, you can see that the Wolves are a team that can get jump shot happy. Andrew Wiggins, you saw the matchup with Vince Carter. He got very jump shot happy. LaVine will get jump shot happy. I think Dunn certainly is going to be tentative out there if he's having to play a bigger role. I think a lot of the team, the rookies, I think Baldwin and Andrew Harrison can do a lot on ball play, particularly Baldwin. Good hands. You've seen what he's done. He stripped John Wall very impressively. Just took the ball right out of his hands. You know, he's got great quickness of hand, quickness of thought, great athleticism. I'd like to see some more work on the outside to put that pressure on to prevent the drives. I'd like to see, fighting, doing your best to get through those screens, getting a little bit of help, and then making sure that you do what you can to keep the Wolves from getting the ball inside, denying that post. Look at the Karl Anthony Towns throws out there, hoping that the Wolves forget about Karl Anthony Towns, as they've done from time to time. But that's going to be a critical component of this game. The Grizzlies' interior defense has been really problematic. Far too many paint points, far too many opportunities for the Grizzlies on the inside. They're allowing teams to shoot a ton inside. So that needs to change. Back that off a little bit, figure that out, and you have a chance to be in very good shape against this Minnesota Timberwolves team.
Today in Grizzlies history.
For some reason, this day in Grizzlies history, November 1st, has often led to games that are just atrocities. And I can only hope that we can see an improvement over that. You can go back to a couple years ago, Grizzlies and Hornets. That game finished, final score now, 71-69. Both teams shooting 36% from the floor and under 30% from three. But you know what? That wasn't the only example of that. You can go all the way back to Hubie Brown's day back in 2003 when the Grizzlies beat the Houston Rockets in Houston 79-71. Both of them on this day. I don't know what's going on, but the Grizzlies, fingers crossed, we can see both teams break the 80-point mark tonight. And basically, from what we've seen this season from both these teams, hell, they've already played each other once. I don't think there's any chance of that happening again. But today in Grizzlies history, a little ugly. All right, so let's talk some numbers. This will be a little numbers game for you. A few interesting stats that I have dug up to tell you about over the course of the first three games of the season. You already heard some of them over the course of the 3Q preview and earlier in the podcast, but here's a few more for you. So far, the Grizzlies second in the NBA in three-point percentage, 43.8% from three. Heady mark for the Grizzlies. Very rare, even this early stage, to see them that high up on the list. They're also, by the way, fourth in three-pointers made on average per game, just over 11 three-pointers made per game. They've made 34 in total in their first three games. Now, to give you some comparison of that, listen to this. In the first 12 games of the 2011-12 season, the Grizzlies hit 35. In the first 12 games of the season, and that was, what, 6 years ago? 5 years ago? So not that long. Not that long at all. Grizzlies have made a quantum leap in the ability to hit the three. It is their biggest three-game total of three-point shots, 34, since back in 2007-2008. You know who the coach was then? Mark Iveroni. And it was Mike Conley's rookie season. And Iveroni's Grizzlies, they didn't win very many games. They were a 22-win team at that point. But what they did do was shoot. Shot a lot of threes. There were a lot of double-digit three-point games that year, including a stretch where they had 38 threes in three games. So they were prolific from outside. They weren't very good. They couldn't play much defense. There were all kinds of other issues that happened, but they could shoot three. So it is not totally unheard of for the Grizzlies to make some three-point shots. Now, on the defensive side, the Grizzlies thus far are allowing their opponents to shoot 30 free throws per game. That's the fourth highest mark in the league. But here's the trouble. That represents almost a 25% increase over last season. And if you go back 2 years ago, allowing 30 free throws per game, that's up 50% from 2 years ago. A huge, huge jump when the Grizzlies allowed 20 free throws per game. Now they're at 30. It is early. It's a long way to go. I grant you, all these numbers should be taken with a grain of salt just because of the early stage of the season. But that is something that the Grizzlies are going to have to deal with. When they're getting spread out, they've got to move their feet, not their arms, got to play with some more discipline. And guys got to stay out of foul trouble. And they have a couple guys out there that are vital. Mike Conley, Marc Gasol. You know, when Zach Randolph's out there, he's vital. Those guys can't pile up the fouls. And then they've got some young players like Jermichael Green, who has a propensity to not necessarily move his feet, move his arms. Jarrell Martin, who's going to have to learn to avoid fouls as he continues to improve in his career. You know, those guys just have to be careful. They have to be very careful with what happens. The Grizzlies have racked up a lot of free throws. A lot of free throws for their opposition thus far this season, and it has kept them in the game. Got a question via Twitter, and you, of course, can be part of this. If you want to send a question and try to become pod famous, I think, you know, if I answer your questions on here, that's a little pod immortality, and that's nothing to sneeze at, ladies and gentlemen. So get those questions in at Peter Edmiston. I would very much love to hear from all of you. Today's question comes in from Jesse H. He is at Grit Grind Every Day. That's E-R-Y-D-A-Y. I assume he ran out of space because he probably wanted a few more R's every day. But you have to tell me about that. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just putting that out there. But Jesse H. asks, are there any games coming up where the Grizzlies starting lineup from the Wizards game could appear again for matchup's sake? That lineup, as a reminder, was Mike Conley at the one, then James Ennis at the two, Jarrell Martin starting at the three, then the normal Jermichael Green and, you know, Marc Gasol at the four and five. But the size of Jarrell Martin as a three, and, you know, because there are certain teams that he's not going to match up well against, that's a lineup that you wouldn't see too often. So that's a good observation. You know, first of all, I think that lineup was actually as much about the Grizzlies or more about the Grizzlies than it was about the matchup from the opposition. I think this was something of a reward for the energy levels that have been shown. James Ennis, you know, playing two when really he's a three. I mean, he showed great energy again in that role and made up for, you know, some of the deficiencies that he has in the process. He's a good shooter. He plays energetic defense. He really battles and fights, goes and hits the offensive glass, which is important because some of the bigs the Grizzlies have are going to be far away from the basket. So somebody's got to go get the offensive glass work done. That's Ennis. Jarrell Martin has shown a lot of those same things. It's more of a challenge for him playing that three against speedier guys, guys that can really drag him out into space. But Jarrell Martin has shown, I mean, he's able to handle the ball. He had that beautiful finish in New York up against Kristaps Porzingis. He's shown great body control. So I think it's not as crazy a lineup as it looks, but I think these lineups are more about the Grizzlies right now than they are about the opponent. Yeah, there are some opponents that it may make sense against. Depending on the lineup the Nuggets want to roll out there, that would make some sense. The Bucks certainly might with what they do with Giannis. But ultimately, I think it's about the Grizzlies and about trying to mask some of the flaws that they've got with effort and energy, trying to acclimate guys to the new system. And Ennis has done a very good job of getting acclimated, so he's very comfortable in David Fizdale's system. I think those are the big reasons why. So to answer your question, Jesse, A couple of those matchups coming up, you might consider it as a matchup thing, but really, if you see more of it, you see more of it because David Fizdale wants that energy and wants that commitment and wants the ability to crash the glass, those things that are really helpful in the situations the Grizzlies find themselves in. So hope that answers your question, Jesse. If you want to have your question answered by me, please fire it off to me at Peter Edmiston. Also, Brandon, our buddy Brandon C. at Ball from Grace says, should the Grizzlies give Kim Jong-un a shot at the roster after his performance? And he sent me a tweet from the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea, that was just what a brilliant story this is, and love to see the highlights of this. Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un scores unheard of quadruple triple in a friendly basketball game against the visiting Laotian national team. So the national team of Laos comes to North Korea. Kim Jong-un with a fabulous quadruple triple. What a day. What a game that must have been. Guy's a baller. Quadruple triple would be, you have four different categories where you scored 100 or more in them. Is that's what quadruple triple is, like 150 points and 100 each of rebounds, assists, steals, something like that, maybe throwing some blocks. Hell yeah, what a basketball talent this guy is. Unbelievable. I mean, wish he was a little more committed to making sure all of the countrymen that he's got had food, but maybe he's just spending that time working on that sick J because he is scoring like crazy. Suck it, Laos. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Edmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Big thanks go out to Audionautix as well for help with the music. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.